So I want to talk about something that comes up very often in our lives. Sometimes we're embroiled in a conflict, right? In fact, the whole story of Bereishis, if you were to ask me, is one big conflict, often between brothers, where one side feels like they're being wronged by the other, right? It starts with Cain and Hevel. Cain feels like he got the short side of the stick. He's being unfavored, and he acts accordingly. When you feel like vulnerable, when you feel insecure, you sometimes do things that aren't right, right? And then it goes on to tell the story of the children of Noah had a conflict, and then we know Ishmael and Yitzchak have a conflict, and then of course Yaakov and Esav have a conflict, and even one could read the story of Shechem as a little bit of Dinah bat Leah. Dinah is the daughter of Leah. In other words, Shimon and Levi feel like they're, as the children of Leah, the children of the unfavored children. They're the unfavored children, and therefore they need to stick up for themselves because they're not getting treated right, and so they take matters into their own hands in order to right the wrongs that have been perpetrated against them. So the whole Sefer Bereishis is all one story of like what happens when you feel like it's not fair. How do you react when things aren't fair? And in fact, a lot of times in life, that's the emotion that we feel. You know, we feel like maybe with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. It's not fair the way that I'm being treated. Why is it that everything's good for him and I have all these challenges and we feel like it's not fair. And sometimes because we feel like it's not fair, we make bad decisions. We justify ourselves to ourselves, you know, to do all sorts of actions. So how do we get out of that embroilment and how do we make the right decision? Right? That's a question that I want to talk about a little bit. So I'll tell you a quick story. So my friend and I were embroiled in just such an argument. We had been in a heated argument about something stupid. I don't even remember what. But, you know, we were in a big fight. And right in the midst of this fight, we got a call about a good friend of ours who was in serious trouble. So immediately we dropped our fight. We ran out to help our friend. And for the next 3 hours, basically the whole night, we were engrossed in trying to help our buddy out. And Baruch Hashem, we did a pretty good job. And at the end of it all, you know, my friend and I were still together. At that moment, do you think we went back to our old fight? Right. Anybody else ever been in such a situation where you're like stuck in something and then something else completely happens and like you don't go back to the fight because you look back and you realize it wasn't such a big deal. It's stupid. You would think you need to resolve the conflict. You need to like get to the core of the matter and like, you know, prove your point. Like you're on the debate squad and one side will win the debate and then everything will be resolved, right? But in reality, that's not really how conflicts generally get resolved because we get emotional in the middle of conflicts. Our brain tells us that this is a bigger deal than it really needs to be. And we keep blowing it up and up and up and up, right? And then afterwards, we look back and say, that was so stupid. So obviously, we didn't go back into our fight. We just moved on and we got along, okay? So I think a similar thing, you could argue with me, but perhaps a similar thing happens in this week's parsha with Yaakov Avinu. And this might be why Yaakov Avinu steps up to become the man of truth and who we are named after. So what am I talking about? Yaakov and Esav have been embroiled in just such a he's right, he wronged me type of conflict for many years. And it all started back when Rivka and Yitzchak had this little conflict about who would be the firstborn son. And Esav was trying to be, and Yaakov was trying to be like Esav. Then it goes back to the story where Yaakov sells the birthright. I mean, Esav sells the birthright to Yaakov. And Esav may have felt wrong. Maybe Yaakov took advantage of him. And Yaakov felt like he was wrong. He was being unfavored by his dad and it wasn't fair. And he was a firstborn, right? And then it goes on and Rivka feels like Yaakov needs to take matters into his own hands because he's being unfavored. And so therefore he needs to wrong his brother and steal the bracha. Right? And then of course Esav feels wrong. So what does Esav vow to do? to kill his brother because he feels wrong. So we see this back and forth of each side feels they're wrong and then gets swept up in the moment and feels like they need to do what they need to do in order to set things right. And then 22 years later, some time passes, and what we would expect Yaakov to be feeling would be anger at his brother Esav. After all, Esav is still mad. He's bringing 400 men to kill him. He vowed to kill his brother Yaakov. And anyway, you know, he sold him the birthright in the first place. We'd expect Yaakov to perhaps act with anger or malice or something like that, you know, to keep the cycle of violence going. But instead, and you know, it's arguable how you read the story, but this is the way that I read it. Yaakov faces up to Esav and he says, you know what? It doesn't really matter who's right. He doesn't say he's sorry. He doesn't necessarily lie and say, I was wrong. But he tries to make amends. He sends gifts to his brother Yaakov. He bows to his brother, Esav. And you know, one could say that bowing is maybe a form of weakness. Sometimes, you know, giving in, people view that as like, oh, don't give in, be strong. But a lot of times when you're strong, you feel like you can bow, you can give in. Because you don't take it personally and you realize you're just submitting to the other person, not because you're worse than him, but because you're on a higher level, you're on a higher plane, so it's no big deal to you know, give him what he wants. It's not a diss to say to empathize or to sympathize with the other person. Right? And then he says the famous words, Kach na et birchati. Take my bracha, take it back. In other words, right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. I don't need it. You take that blessing back, right? Whether exactly he was giving the Bechor bracha back or he was giving that initial bracha of having material prosperity, you know, is debatable. But he's, instead of like trying to be argumentative and prove he's right and go back into the past, he's just looking his brother in the eyes and saying, you know what? It doesn't really matter who is right and who is wrong. But at the end of the day, I hurt you and I want to make amends. I want to be straight with you and I don't want to dwell in the past. And we know there's two opinions in Rashi when he kisses, when Esav kisses his brother. Was it a fake kiss? Or was it a real kiss? And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, actually, in this case, it was a real kiss. It was a real hug. It was Mamash Rav Shlomo hug. It was a real, real love. And why did Esav really love Yaakov? Because Yaakov really hugged and loved Esav. And when someone really hugs you and really loves you, not from a fake place, but from a place of sincerity, then you have no choice but to love him back. And so Esav needed to hug and kiss him back. And that was the resolution of this conflict. Not some intellectual debate team like, was I right in stealing the bracha? Were you right? Right? Not trying to prove you're right, not a power struggle. But Yaakov stepping back outside of the power struggle and saying, you know what, it doesn't really matter. Let's just make amends, right? And I think this is a very, very important life principle. First of all, to be an awesome husband. And second of all, just in general in conflicts. So often we're embroiled in a conflict, and especially as men, we want to prove that we're right and we want to resolve the conflict in that, and we feel like it's not fair, it's not right. But the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, what do we got to do? We got to step back outside of the emotional embroilment that we're in. And we got to understand that what the other person is really asking for is empathy, is sympathy. Often we can't give them that sympathy or empathy right away when we're in the midst of the argument, right? So what I suggest is just stop, calm down, you know, take a step out of the argument or the tough situation, and then later come back into it when you're more calm and try to come to it from a place of empathy and compassion and love, and you'll see that you can resolve almost every conflict. And I'd say the same thing with our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Sometimes we're mad at God, right? Or where we feel we're angry. We're angry at the situation. We're in a bad mood. At that moment, I know I mentioned this a lot. At that moment, we have to stop. Because when we're in a bad mood, we're not thinking straight. Our emotions are taking over and not our intellect. And nothing good will happen out of trying to resolve the conflict, even in our brain. Right? So what do we got to do? We got to stop, soothe ourselves, do something nice, do something chill. until we get into a better mood, and then we can go back into solving the problem. I'm going to apply this to one more situation. Sometimes in life, we're feeling angry or sad, okay? And our intellectual and our brain tells us that we're angry or sad. Let's dwell upon the point of what we're sad about and try to figure out why it is that, what's the problem, how I solve the problem. Kind of, you know, go into, when you're in a sad mood, why am I sad? It's not fair, I'm sad. I'm angry. That is a big mistake. Because what do we end up doing? We end up looking at the sad thing, and it's like a microscope. It gets a bigger and bigger. The more we dwell upon the problem, the issue becomes bigger and bigger. And really, what should we do? We should step out of it. Stop thinking about the problem, because you can't solve the problem when you're in an angry or sad mood. Your brain's just not working right. And instead, start thinking about positive things. Start learning Torah. Start davening. Start running. Do something active, you know, or you voted to do something active with your time to get to step out of the problem instead of being embroiled in this, you know, power conflict where you're trying to solve the problem, but you're only making it worse. Right? And if we take that attitude, ultimately we won't be sad people. We'll be very happy people, because instead of trying to fix it, which just gets us, you know, more and more embroiled in the sadness, we'll just step out of it, get ourselves in a good mood, and then later step back into it and brainstorm when we're in a good mood as to how we can, you know, do tshuva and fix whatever needs to be fixed. But the key principle here is that when we're in the middle of a conflict, whether with another person, whether with Bezrat Hashem, it's going to happen with our wives, or whether even with ourselves, to recognize immediately, shoot, I'm in an embroilment. I'm in anger. I'm in an emotion right now. I need to recognize that and then step out of it. And then Bezrat Hashem, later, there'll be time to you know, talk calmly with yourself or with a friend about how to fix the problem. The advice I'm giving you guys is the hardest thing in the world. It's not easy. Right? We see all the avos struggling with it, right? Including the coming parshas. Right? We see this Yosef and the brothers. It's not easy at all, what I'm telling you guys. But Bezrat Hashem, if we work on ourselves and with a lot of emunah and tefillah, working on ourselves, we can become the types of people that don't get embroiled in our emotions, step out of our emotions, and choose happiness. Great, guys. Have an amazing Shabbat. Awesome.